Welcome to Adventures in Grace. This is Jim Hockaday. Well, we're going to get back into our Union with Christ series that we're on. And before we do, number one, we want these videos to encourage you to let God become a part of your life. So in other words, instead of just reading about him, let's experience him all day long. You know, Jesus did. He said, I don't say anything unless I hear my Father say. So he must have been hearing his Father say a lot. He said, I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it. So he must have been seeing his Father do a lot. In other words, there must have been constant interaction with God. I believe with all my heart, Jesus stayed 100% connected to his Father at all times. He was aware of him as much as he was aware of anything else. And his allegiance was to his Father. That's why he said, I didn't come to do my own will, but the will of my Father who sent me. Well, number two, as God becomes real to you, faith becomes more of a response than a work. We've made faith such a work. We're trying so hard to hear enough so that it gets down into our heart. And even then, we're not sure that we have enough faith for the problem that we've got. You know, when God becomes the solution to every problem, then faith becomes just your response to him. And it becomes very simple the more real God becomes. And what happens? You get answered prayers, and then we want to tell people about those answered prayers. And so here's one answer. I'll give you a faith, one of these faith stories right away. We call them grace testimonies. And so this says here, this is really good. Terry sends this in. Here is our grace story. We are bringing your YouTube recordings, watching almost every night. We searched for your latest video watch. The pastor introduced you, and then all of your messages had no volume. Reminded us of you typing in fasting. Well, that was when I typed in fasting and believe came up. We talked about that in the last series, believing. She went on to say, we searched again and were led to the Jordan River Church recording. It was the word we needed for that night. We learned about falling in love again and really feeling him all day long. Holding on to this word, you are walking out on the other side. Seems like a roundabout, but you are not in it. You are on the other side. A very vivid word to us. We live in a little town with a roundabout. So in other words, the Lord was just showing them that they're on the other side of this roundabout. We're not going around in circles. Thank God we're on the other side. Well, this is a good testimony. Why? Because even when things don't seem to be exactly what you'd like them to be, hold on for a moment. Don't just buy into the world. Stop for a moment. Don't allow what you see or what's confronting you to bring all of your emotions and feelings in negatively. Just lower that particular part of what's being presented to you. Lower it in your value, in what you deem important, your importance. Bring the importance of that thing down. Give God a chance to show himself. I love this because they didn't seem to have the videos that they wanted. They began to do another search and they got the exact video for that night that they needed. You said, well, that's just a coincidence. You know, anybody could do that. Well, anybody could do that. And that's the whole point. People are experiencing things that God is actually involved in helping others to experience what they really need and what they really desire all the time. But people are missing these opportunities and don't share. And see, what happens when you don't share? Well, then you miss the next opportunity as well. It's like a snowball going down the hill. Do you want it to go down the hill where you never find God, you never hear God? Or do you want it to go down the hill where you begin to acknowledge the small little things that end up in you hear God's voice, you recognize his presence, and thank God your faith becomes a response to the person that you're actually walking with and talking with? Amen. That's exactly why we're doing these videos. And Jesus actually gives a scripture in Matthew 11. 27 to 30 in the Message Bible that invites us into this relationship. It says just this. And Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique Father and Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. Well, that sums it up, what we were saying here at the beginning of this video. Let's jump right into our union with Christ. So we're gonna jump over into the Carpenter's translation of Romans chapter 6, verse 6. What do you mean our union? Well, I'll explain it again. A plumber understands this really well. You can have one pipe with threads going one direction, another pipe with threads going the opposite direction, and there's no way to get them together unless you have what's called a union. And that's a nut that actually, when you turn it, it'll bring threads that are opposite from this side into, and threads opposite from this side into that nut, and you tighten it until you have one particular rod or pipe. And everything in God has come through our union in Christ into us. Everything in us has gone into him, and he destroyed everything that was sinful, that was wrong in us, and he put in us everything that was right and perfect that came through Jesus Christ. Don't you love how God loves to be the top giver? In other words, we give of what we give, and God just outdoes us every time. Don't you love that he's more abundant? He's not El Cheapo, he's El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. Well, let's jump in here and look at what he says about the sinner that we used to be. What happened when God did come, when we did invite him to be the Lord and Savior of our life? It said he, that sinful person in you, was a sinful fella. It was useless to try to persuade him to become a little better or a shade or two less sinful. He had to be exterminated. That's right. Your old man was annihilated. Brother Hagin used to say, annihilated. It doesn't matter how you say it. It means that God had to destroy the sinner you were and then make you a brand new spiritual being where you have the divine nature of God. For without the divine, perfect nature of God, how could the perfect Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, come to literally live inside of your spiritual being and become one spirit with you? I mean, his cells and your spiritual cells have become so fused together as one that you are one individual and yet two at the same time. Praise the Lord. It kind of sounds like the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, doesn't it? Well, that's you. Praise the Lord. Corinthians 6 and verse 11 and 12 tells us we are one spiritual being in the Lord. Well, as we go on, look at what it says in verse 7 of Romans chapter 6. The Ways translation said this: you know, the man who has died is incapable of sinning, as much so as if he were perfectly righteous. Now, that may seem like a really difficult thought to you. Probably haven't heard a lot of that we can actually live without sin. We just have become really good at being forgiven sinners, forgiven Christians, excuse me. But what about being actually sinless? Is it possible? Well, it is possible. And so what is the direction that we focus for this sinlessness? Well, it has to do with becoming very conscious of being a spiritual being made in the union and in the likeness and in the image of Almighty God. Notice what it says. You know, the man who has died is incapable of sinning. The sinner you used to be is gone. What does that mean to that individual being able to sin? The sin is gone with him. If he's gone, if the sinner's gone, so is the sin. If the sinner is gone, so is the sickness. If the sinner is gone, so is the defeat in your life. Thank God we're supposed to rule and reign through Christ Jesus in this lifetime. And that means it translates even into the way you live your life and how your physical life connects to this physical world. In other words, God will work in your body to change your body from sickness to health. He'll work in your finances to change it from poverty to wealth. He'll work in the negativity of the world to change your failures into successes and victories. Why? Well, God loves, as a premier marketer and advertiser, he loves to show off his product. Amen. He loves for us to become an example of his goodness, that the world might want the exact same God that we have. Come on, folks, this is the reason why we want to testify to the goodness of God. Not just testify to the fact that God's good because we read it in the Bible, but testify to the fact that what we read became a truth and a reality in our life. Look at what William's translation said. For when a man is dead, he is freed from the claims of sin. Do you know you're free from the claims of sin? You need to just think it this way. If the sin problem is over, then sin is over and is no longer the strength or has the power of allurement that it used to have. I don't have the same feelings towards sin any longer. I don't have the same feelings and emotions that are attached to sinfulness. Why? Because the sinner's gone. Because the sin problem's gone. That means if the problem of sin is gone, then actual sinning does not have to actually be difficult anymore. The ability to walk free from sin. Well, this is a real central truth to who we are in Christ. You see, we've moved from that old house where we used to be. We're no longer an old nature sinner being. You can't just dig him up. He doesn't exist. We are a new creature in Christ Jesus. One translation says a new species. Do you mean God created all over again another species? Yes, I mean, he did real well 7,000 years ago in the book of Genesis. But 2,000 years ago, he made a brand new kind of spiritual being. It's called a believer. It's called a Christian. A man who becomes united to God. He took two and made one new kind of being. Us and God fused us together until we're a God-man on the earth. We're no longer just human as humanity knows humanity, but we are human with God in us. Amen. And the greater part in us is greater than the world. He that is greater in you is greater than he that is in the world. What does that mean? The greater part of you is God, and he's even greater than you. So lean in to the greater part. The more we talk about it, the more we actually meditate on it, the more we simply believe in it, the more it affects the way you think, it affects the way you act, and it affects your outcome. I remember years ago, Brother Hagin saying this, if you don't like the way or the situation that you're in, go back to checking up on what you've been believing and what you've been saying because you created it yourself. Now, people don't like that. I can hear the naysayers saying, well, there's that name it and claim it thing all over again. Well, you know, the truth of the matter is maybe people have taken all kinds of good doctrine and turned it into seed. We know that they do that. But the truth of the matter is the things that you say come from the things that you think and the things that you believe. And if you believe a thing to be so, then heaven believes that thing to be so for you. You can create your own realities. And if you don't like where you're at, that says something about what you've been believing. Well, it's not just woe as me, you know, the devil's after me making all these hard things. Listen, the greatest thing the devil has done, if you want to tip your hat to him at all, and we don't, but if you were to, you would tip your hat to the idea that he's made everybody think that he's somebody. He is a nobody. Jesus thoroughly defeated him. I mean, he's beat up, folks. He doesn't have power. That's why he has to deceive you to use yours against you. Isn't that interesting that we use our own power, give it away, so that it comes against us to destroy us? How many are thankful that Jesus gave us authority and power, and not just a little? He said when he came out of the grave, those great words of Matthew 28:18, all power has been given unto me in heaven and earth. Go therefore. In other words, I give you this authority and this power. What kind? All. How much did he leave the devil? Zero. None. Do you see the significance of making sure you know who you are? If not, the devil will deceive you into buying into what you see with your eyes, what you hear with your ears. Now see with your spiritual eyes, hear with your spiritual ears, and know what the Lord says about you, and you will stop dead in its tracks these things that come to destroy your life. Come on, the thief comes to steal and destroy, but thank God the shepherd is there for what? To set us free, to give us eternal life, to give it to us abundantly. We know his voice, we hear him, we follow him, and the voice of a stranger we do not know. Come on, this is Christianity. This is the nuts and bolts of why we experience God on a regular basis, why we hear the sound of the Lord, why we see and perceive the spiritual things of the anointing and the presence of the Holy Ghost. It's the reason why we walk in victory. You don't walk in victory just because you so happen to walk in it. There's a reason why people fail. There's a reason why people succeed. Going on a little further, we look over into Romans in chapter 6 and verse 11, and this is really powerful. And the reason why it's powerful is because of what we just got through saying. We're segueing perfectly right into this particular thought in this verse. What do you mean? Well, if you looked at the first 10 verses of Romans, you would see that Paul very emphatically, with great absoluteness, says, now this is who you are. You're no longer a sinner. You died with him. When you died with him, he destroyed that old sinful nature. When he rose up again, you rose up with him so that you could have a new experience in a new life. And you receive the impartation of the divine nature of God, and that lives in you. And you no longer have to be at sin's beck and call. Well, Paul didn't say it's going to happen. He said that's what happened. And then in verse 11, he says, likewise, consider yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Reckon yourselves, consider yourselves. It's kind of like an accounting term. Put it on the ledger. This is now who you are. Well, why do I have to reckon it to be so or consider it to be so? Most likely it's because what you face on a daily basis tells you that what Paul just got through saying that you've experienced in Christ, what you experience on a daily basis will tell you it's not so. I mean, you'll have all kinds of opportunities to just give in to the pains and sicknesses and troubles and lack of success and discouragements and despondency, anxiety and stress. And all these things of the world that are so full of negativity will literally scream at you that, no, you didn't die with Christ. Your spiritual being is not alive unto God. You're still subject to the laws of sin and death. No, you're not. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. So you're going to have to consider this to be so. In other words, you're going to have to put it on. You're going to have to wear it as a garment as though you are dead to sin. And that is long gone. And the sin problem is out of here, and you can rejoice and be glad that you are alive unto God. I'll finish this verse. DEAF translation. I have to go look it up, folks. I just put the abbreviation down. It says, he died to defeat the power of sin one time, enough for all time. In the same way, you should see yourselves as being dead to the power of sin. Notice he said, see yourselves. This may take some time that's quiet and getting away from the noise of the world and just beginning to see yourself alive unto God, full of life and full of victory. See yourself triumphant over sin and over the struggles and even over the emotions and feelings that are trying to drag you down and pull you right back into some type of habit or some type of sinfulness. See yourself alive unto God. That's what this said right here. It says, see yourself being dead to the power of sin and see yourself being alive for God through Jesus Christ. Well, if you're to see yourself being dead to sin, see yourself being dead to sickness. How can sickness get on a dead man? Come on, you go to a hospital and you go in there with one problem, you can walk out with another problem. Why? Because it's teeming with sickness and disease. People are the vehicles through which these parasites live. But you go to a graveyard, you can roll around in the dirt there if you'd like to. You won't come away with sickness and disease. Why? Because everything in there is dead, and sickness and disease doesn't live on a dead man. I thank God I died with Christ. Sickness doesn't live on me. It doesn't live on you either. Man, well, our time just went flying by. We'll come back and we'll just jump right in here because there's too many good things for us to share. I trust you're getting some of this. And it's becoming alive in your heart and becoming life to your mind. We'll stop right here and just say, go to YouTube channel, Adventures in Grace, and subscribe. You can follow us on Jim Hockaday Ministry Facebook page. But definitely go to the JHMI at jimhockaday.com, email on our website, and write us your grace story. See you next time.